Dear friends, let us begin today's discussion, the last in this series, going on for last 5 years or so. We begin as usual with the opening chant. Vande Vamsi Dharam Krishnam Smayamanam Mukhambujam Pitambara Dharam Neelam Malya Chandana Radha Chitta Chakurendu Saundarya Sumahodadhim Parat Parataram Devam Brahma Om Parthaya Pratibodhitam Bhagavata Narayanena Swayam Vyasena Grathitam Puranamunina Madhye Mahabharatam Advaitamrita Varshinim Bhagavatim Ashtadashadhyayinim Ambatvam Anusandhame Bhagavad Gita Bhavadvishvani. During the last class on Tuesday, we saw Lord was giving the final comments, his opinion as to how one should proceed for illumination of one's life, what should be the ultimately one has to do. And he said, look here, this is my opinion, well studied opinion, conclusion that I am putting before you. And so we should see that how important it is. In Bhagavad Gita, you do not find too many places where Lord mentions that this is my concluding opinion. This is my certain sure advice to you. And here he gives this concluding advice in the three verses that we were seeing at the end of last past Tuesday's class, that Sarva Guhya Tamam Bhuya Shrunume Paramam Vachaha, the 64th verse, friends. Ishto Sime Dridhamiti Tato Vakshamite Hitam. Here again, my supreme word, the most secret of all, because you are clear, dearly beloved of me, therefore I shall tell you what is good for you. I am telling you this because you are such a dear to me. The Lord sees all beings as very dear. Whether we feel Lord to be dear or not, that is not much of a question. But God sees that every being is so dear to Him, especially those who want in life to realize this truth. Everybody is dear, but then that dearness further becomes manifest when there is a desire in that being to achieve the highest goal in life is seen. And thus that dearness gets an outlet. Otherwise it is there for every being. But the others, the most beings really do not want that love of God to flow to them. So God keeps that door shut, because not many people, not certainly majority of people will be able to understand or tolerate, let us put it like that, to withstand the love of God. To withstand the love of God is not easy, because we like the love of all the perishable, impermanent things to come. And so we push aside the love of God, really speaking. We do not want God to love us much. It sounds harsh, friends. But whom do we care more? Our care for God is very little. To be done in life. If there is nothing else to do, I told many times this incident. I was new here about 12 years ago, and the month of September or early October, something like that, the weather was terrible. Sunday, so I just expressed at the tea time before the Sunday service that in this weather not many people are likely to come, you see. And some more experienced member immediately corrected me, "Swami, you will be surprised. Maybe you will get a full house today." "Why?" I said, "Why?" "Because in this weather, nowhere else to go. People cannot go to beaches or parks and no other. So they will be, this is the last thing that people like in life." "Okay, come on, I cannot go to beaches today. I cannot go out roaming about here and there. The weather is too bad for that. So, okay, I can go to Vedanta Society and to listen to the Sunday service." So, that is kind of last priority. We do not, other priorities, they are far more important in life. This comes as the last one. So, Sri Ramakrishna was asked once that, "Why do we not see God? We want to see God, but why can we not see God?" And then he said, "Well, do we really want to see God? And we do not really want to see God. We do not have that much love. If somebody loses money, sheds bucket full of tears, loses some relation, some near and dear person, sheds again bucket full of tears. Who has shed tears for not realizing God? Do we really miss God in life? We miss so many other things. Do we miss God? And when we start missing God, that means we have opened the door for it. Now there is scope for the love of God to flow." There is a nice incident told that it is once Lord Krishna and Arjuna, they were walking, going from some place to another place. And then it was, as they were walking, evening came, and then they decided to seek shelter in some house. They saw a big mansion of a rich man. They said, "Okay, this man can give us some shelter for the night." And when they knocked the door, the door was open, and then the owner was informed that these are the guests for the night. He said, "Oh, very good. Make arrangements for them. and give them food and shelter and everything, make good arrangement for them, that's it. And they stayed there for the night. Next morning, as they were leaving, this rich man came to say bye-bye to Lord, and Lord blessed him profusely, saying that, well, you are a very wealthy person, may your wealth grow further, may you have more and more money and more things in life, very good. And they started on their journey again. Again, then next day in the evening, again they needed to take shelter somewhere, and they saw some hut, a small dwelling place of a poor man, and they said, okay, today we will take shelter here, let us see if he can. And this man, when saw that Lord and Arjuna, they have come here, he was overjoyed. He left everything else and welcomed them and continued in their service. He had nothing much to offer. He had only a cow, so he milked the cow and offered milk to both of them, and they very happily had the milk. And then next morning they again were ready to start on their journey. And this poor man, he also came and saluted Lord, and very with lot of devotion he said, I am so grateful to you for choosing to stay at my place. Whatever I had, I tried to serve you. Please forgive any shortcomings and all that. And Lord also blessed him, saying that, may your cow die. And that was a big shock to Arjuna. What is this? What is this? And he questioned Krishna that, I understand, after all you blessed that man also. He was just formally treating us, didn't show much devotion. But to him you said, may your wealth increase and all that. And this man had nothing, but he offered with such devotion. And you dealt such a cruel blow on him that may his cow die, that only position that he had. You said that, let that die. Just, I don't get it. I don't understand. What kind of behavior is this? And Lord said, that is how my way of behavior is. That is how I work. And then he gave an explanation. You know, that other man, he really had no love for me. He wanted money, and he wanted all those external these luxuries to go on. So I said, okay, let you have that, be satisfied with those, and you will have those. But this man really had love for me. But some of his love was only also on that cow. That he had almost all love for me, but there was a little attachment for that cow. So therefore I said, may that cow die, may your cow die. You know, I didn't say that the cow die, your cow, may that, your cow means your attachment for that cow, may that die. The idea that it's my cow, let that die, so that you will come wholeheartedly to me. So that is how the way of the love for God gets expressed. So who wants that kind of love? We really do not crave for God. We crave from God. God give me this and God give me that. It is very rarely a person with such courage comes up and says, I want God. I want nothing else, I want God. So Lord said that, I love everybody, but who wants my love? There was a Sufi saint in India, Kabir. He said that, well, Who wants God? I am announcing right in the big marketplace. Kabira khada bazaar mein. That Kabir is standing right, announcing loudly in the market that the one who is ready to sacrifice his head, give up his head, come with me. Is anybody ready for that? That person is really worthy of receiving the whole love for God. So God's love is there, but who can receive? Who opens it up? When you open it, you get it. It is the water is ready to come out. You have to open the faucet, you see. If you don't open the faucet, that means in your home you don't need it, you don't want it. So you don't get it. If you just stand there and keep on saying, well, no, I am not getting any water, what can I do? There is no mercy in the world, I am not having any water. Fellow, water is there. If you want, just you have to open the faucet and then there will be torrents of water there. So, that is the condition. So Lord said that, well, whosoever really wants me, this is my advice to them. And it is a very big secret. Secret because it is an open secret. It is in front of everybody. But people see and yet don't see. That is why it is secret. It is right in front of us, but because we don't want to see, we just don't see it. It is, Lord says, you are very dear to me, and so I am opening it up to you. You wanted to achieve the goal in life. You wanted the secret of a peaceful life, happy life. And who doesn't want? We want all of us peaceful, happy life. But how do you get peaceful and happy life? This is the way. Whether one really understands this or not. But friends, it has been told by all great sages, either from east or from west, from north or from south, whether they are Hindus or Buddhists or Jewish or Christians or Islamic, whatever, they all said this, that there is no iota of happiness in these passing names and forms that we call world. There is absolutely nothing to be gained there. If you want happiness, just turn and see and go to God. It is secret because it is you are looking in the opposite direction, and that's it. It is something, somebody standing right behind me. I am not seeing that person. Is it a big secret? Yes, big secret, because my eyes are not facing him, that's all. Very close, but I am not seeing it. So Lord says, this is, I am telling for your good. We are all spiritual babies, friends. Swami Vivekananda says in one place that let us accept this. We in our ego, like the two-year-old, thinks that it knows everything. And nothing more needs to be learned. I know everything. We are like that we know everything. So therefore do not understand our own good. So just as the parents, for a child who doesn't want to listen, thinks that I know everything, they still say that, look, this I am telling for your good. So Lord is telling this for our good out of compassion. And what he told, that weave all your activities around me. Man mana bhava mad bhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru mame vaishyasi satyam te pratijane priyosi me fix your mind on me, be devoted to me, worship me and bow down to me, then you shall come to me. Truly do I promise to you, for you are dear to me. Again, Lord says, because you are dear to me, I am telling you this, that this is the great secret. You hold on to God in all your activities. Gradually, you will see the reality of God. The transformation starts happening in life, friends. It is not just a story, a fiction, but a reality, that when we start making God as the center of our life, we start reaching closer and closer to God. The awareness of God, or if you like to call it our true self, becomes more and more predominant in life. Whatever is permanent becomes more and more palpable in life. That which is, you can easily see these distinctions, then actually what is permanent and what is just appearance and continuously changing, passing phenomena, that can easily be seen by us when we start not just reading and intellectually appreciating, but making that truth percolate into our life. And we see that how we start feeling it. And as you start feeling it, the effect of it also is being felt, that you start experiencing more peace, more happiness in life. A happiness of not having grabbed something, but the happiness that is within us starts manifesting. It is very similar to this. If you go closer to a fragrant flower, you will experience more fragrance. So the closer you go to God, you will experience more joy and more peace. So this is the truth. And then he said, therefore give up everything else, all other big or small ideas, that you want to do this in life and that do that in life. And we have 100 such ideas and the duties associated with that. That let me bring justice in this world. Let me remove the poverty from this world. Let me see that everybody gets lot of education. Let me see that all evil people are eradicated from the face of the earth, and so forth. He said that give up all these ideas. Then there are other ideas. Let me become the most brilliant doctor in this world, or most accomplished engineer here. Let me become a Nobel Prize winner in this field and that field. All those ideas come. Let me become the biggest celebrity here. Ideas for me, name, money, and power, all those come to us. Yeah, I should become that. Lord says, well, dear, leave all that aside. It is difficult, but even if it is difficult, difficult is not a very negative word. Difficult is a positive word, friends. What does it tell you? If it is difficult, you are sure that it is not impossible. The two words are there, impossible and difficult. To get happiness from running after the things in the world is neither easy nor difficult. It is impossible. And realizing God could be difficult. So a wise person, what a wise person will choose? A wise person will choose difficult over impossible, for sure. And the difficult is only because we are not giving a good try to it. When you give a good try to it, things start becoming easy because the grace of the God starts flowing in our life. What we need to do is just to remove the resistance in the path, that's all. Otherwise, the force of God's attraction is so much that it will automatically bring us on the path. Patanjali mentions this, a great spiritual scientist who is very much known for science of meditation and control and how gradually one reaches to samadhi. The aphorisms of Patanjali are great in that matter. So he mentions that the job of a spiritual aspirant is just like a farmer gets the water from the canal flowing nearby to his farm. How does that farmer do it? The water is already there. What he does is removes the obstruction. There is the earth in between. So he digs a kind of trench so that the water from that canal starts flowing into his field. So also we have just to do this, remove these blockages to the grace of God. That is the only spiritual practice, friends, to remove the blockage to this grace of God. So Lord says, sarva dharman parityajya, giving up all other things in life, all other aspirations and the works associated with those aspirations, give up all those. Mamekam sharanam braja, take refuge in me alone. And what will be the result? Aham tva sarva papebhyo moksha ishyami ma shuchah, giving up all duties, take refuge in me alone. I will liberate you from all sins. Do not grieve. Do not feel depressed that it is not possible for me. It is possible for you. The source of grace, source of illumination is right with you. Just open yourself up to it and that will take care of it. What a great solace, friends, that each of us has this. Where there is more obstruction, we feel that the person is very sinful and is bad, does all sorts of immoral and criminal things. It is just the more obstruction. A virtuous person, good person, has less obstruction. But in both cases, the obstruction needs to be removed. And thus, once you remove the obstruction, you become united with Lord. And this is getting rid of all sins. Sarva papebhyo, all sins are because of a non-connectivity with God. You connect to God and then you become saint. That is the only difference between a saint and a sinner. A sinner has blocked that awareness of God. The saint has opened it. That's it. And so sinner is just not having that connection with God. In the ninth chapter, therefore, this beautiful verse comes that look, that even if a person is very has committed lots of sins. Apiche suduracharo, the Lord says this, that apiche suduracharo, think of whatever bad things a person could do. Suppose you take that terribly sinful person, but if that person comes on the path of holding on to God, bhajate mam ananya bhak, Without consideration to all the wrong things that person has done. If you come on the right track, well, then what happens? Then that person that becomes saintly, immediately sadhu reva samantavyaha samyak vyavasito visaha, that person is saint now. And we see so many transformations actually in life. Suppose in one glass somebody had poured poison. Now because that glass was filled with poison, you call it glass of poison. Now you wash it nicely and now fill that glass with something nice. Then will you call it glass of poison? If there is, suppose, orange juice filled in it, now will you still call it glass of poison? The glass is not the poison or juice. It is filled with this or that. So a person filled with this ignorance does all sorts of criminal things. That is how Jesus prayed for those who were crucifying him. Lord, they do not know. Because they don't know, they are doing it. So the problem is ignorance. Once you know, you won't do it. It is as simple as that, friends. That now you become saint. There is no other difference between a saint and a sinner. If you do not have this connection with God, you are a sinner. If you are connected to God, you have no sin in you. It is so simple, friends. So give up all other things if you want to realize God, and then just come to God alone. One may think, what about all the other things that I need to do to sustain my life? Look, I have a family, I have to take care of family, I have a job, I have to do my job. How can I then think of God alone? I am a student, I have to pursue my studies. Can I give up all that and come to God? That is what is the meaning of it. So from tomorrow, should I stop studying or going to my work? No, friends. That is not the idea at all. But whatever you are doing, hold on to God while doing it and offer it to God. That is what is being told. Everything that is being done, and do it with the awareness of God being inside you, inside the work. We recite a grace prayer before taking the meals. That is from Bhagavad Gita, 4th chapter. Which says, Brahmarpanam Brahma Havir Brahma Agnam Brahmana Hutam Brahma Ivatena Gantavyam Brahma Karma Samadhina. That is the attitude that is to be cultivated in all works. That the substratum of the work is Lord, the means of the work is Lord, the worker is Lord, the giver is Lord, the receiver is Lord, and then the result of this will also be Lord. So, this awareness connects us to God in everything. And this is a great idea. Not that you give up everything and go to forest. Again, you forest, you will be doing something or the other. So what is the meaning of surrendering completely to God? That everything that you do connected to God. And not that if you have a wife and children, you give them up and say that you don't belong, I don't care for you. Just now I heard in the Bhagavad Gita class that I have to stop everything and devote to God. So therefore I am now leaving you, throwing you to winds, and I am going. That is not what is told here. This is not tying your life to God. It is just running away, escapism, that's all. You want to get away from all your responsibilities, so you decided that. But do your duties. Do whatever you need to do, but holding on to God, offering it to God, thinking, feeling that God is in each of these things. That is the reality in all changing forms. So look at the substance like an intelligent person looks at the same substance in all animal crackers of different shapes. So also in all these different shapes, try to connect to the substance. It is, that is the wisdom that is imparted here. So whether you eat a rabbit or whether you eat a lion, you are eating the same substance there, not anything else. So that is whatever you are connecting to. Lord alone is the unchanging reality in and through all these names and forms. So this is a great science that brings us peace and happiness. So this needs to be practiced, friends. And now, last some of the verses, he tells that, look, who should be told all these things? Everybody is not competent to hear these things. It is for everyone, but not everyone is eager to get it. Not everyone is really in that sense competent to receive it. So the 67th verse says, and never should this be declared to you to one who is devoid of austerities, or who is not a devotee, nor to one who does not wish to hear it, nor one who cavils at me. Na tapaskaya, the one who has no intention of controlling his life, that is the meaning of austerity. Austerity means there is a propensity that tells you to do something and you say, no, no, you can't do it. So you put a controlling element to it. And this is very important as a spiritual aspirant, let alone a spiritual aspirant. Even as a responsible citizen of the society, you have to practice control. You cannot say that I won't care whether the light is red or green, I will just drive through. That is irresponsible behavior. It is, you have to have control. You must practice control in life, even for a meaningful social life. For spiritual life, you need more control. So, the one who refuses to practice any control will not get any benefit of listening these things, will not listen to it. And if somebody is against all these things, okay, don't go to tell that person. Like Jesus told that Bible says, don't throw pearls before the swine. The pearls will be lost, and then the swine, if it eats it, will have stomachache again. So therefore, don't throw these great pearls to those who do not deserve it. Many other things that who is not a devotee, so they won't like to hear these things, and nor one who does not wish to hear it. It is not something that can be forced on somebody. People have to take it in. If they want illumination in life, let them come and hear it. And then let them, if they find it illuminating, let them use it. Others, even if they hear, I mean, it won't be of any use to them. That's it. It is, they won't understand a word of it. Even though it is told in an English language that they understand, it would be like Chinese to them. Nothing would be actually seeping in. So, if don't tell to such person, but to whom it should be told? Ye imam paramam guhyam madbhakte svabhidhasyati bhakti mai parankritva mame vaishyasi asamshayah. That he who will impart this profound secret of to my devotees has supreme devotion to me, and being free from doubt comes to me alone. But if you have the devotees of Lord, and to them you tell this truth, elucidate that truth, sing the glories of that, then what do you get? You get devotion to God, supreme devotion to God by doing this act. So that is why I am trying to do it, friends. By you all great devotees here, you come here with great compassion and feeling of devotion. So by explaining these verses, I feel I will get some devotion to God. So, because Lord has assured this, and in fact He glorifies it further. Nacha tasman manushyeshu kaschin me priyakrittamah bhavita nacha me tasmat anya priyataru bhuvi. There is none among men who does dearer service to me than he, nor will there be any, and there is none on earth dearer to me than he or she whosoever spreads amongst devotees, amongst that legitimate and competent aspirants this message, then that person is the dearest to Lord. So let us feel this truth, and let us try to be very dear to God by spreading this message. And it is then he says that adhyeshate cha imam dharmyam samuchai adhyeshate cha ya imam dharmyam samvadamavayoho jnana yajnena tenaham ishtasya aditi me matihi. And he who will study this sacred dialogue between us will be sacrificing to me through the knowledge sacrifice. This is my opinion. What is knowledge sacrifice? That is, the ignorance is gone in a knowledge sacrifice. So the one who will study this sacred dialogue between us, the ignorance of that person will be gone. This is the sacrifice where the ignorance will be burnt in the fire of knowledge. So, if somebody doesn't understand but yet just listens to it, that is also, he said, that great spiritual advancement and liberation will come to that person too. 71st verse. Shraddhavan anasuyascha shrunayadapi yo narah sopi mukta shubhan lokan prapnayad punyakarmanam. A person who merely hears this Gita with devotion and without cavilling shall be freed and attain the blessed spheres attained by men of righteous deeds. That two qualities are told for the hearers who should who will, because of hearing, will reach the highest goals like liberation or going to the auspicious worlds after casting away this body. That has to have devotion to Lord. And another important thing, and no jealousy or feeling of cavilling against others. Because that is a big, big obstacle in spiritual life. We start comparing ourselves with others and say that, well, that person is not doing good work, and then you think that if somebody is getting something better than you, you become jealous. And then that jealousy is, friend, a big obstacle in our path. The message earlier also, Lord has told that Arjuna was told, you know, I am telling this truth to you because you are free from jealousy. Being non-jealous is a very important necessity to understand, appreciate the spirituality, because what it really means, seeing the same self in everyone. So if you are having jealousy, this truth gets obstructed by that. As I had mentioned this many times, this oneness removes the feeling of jealousy. If you are holding $100 in your left hand, then the right hand doesn't become jealous. Hey, this left hand got the $100 and I don't have, why should left hand God should get it? Right hand does lot of work, left hand does nothing. Why should, you don't think like that. When you eat by mouth, you don't become jealous. The hand doesn't become jealous of mouth. We hands do the work and this mouth only talks and eats. What is this? So you don't become like that. You don't say that I will not put food in mouth, I will hold in my only hands, I want it. You don't do that. It is because there is that awareness of oneness. So therefore, practice of non-jealousy is a very important thing in advancement of spiritual life. And it is to be acquired, because as human beings, naturally we are jealous of each other. One should not consider that, it is not a comment to depress anybody, but to make us aware that we have to overcome this. All of us have to overcome this. And so this is an important thing. And he'll ask then Arjuna, that okay, I have finished my discourse. Now, kachide tat shrutam partha tvayaika grena chetasa kachida jnana sammoha pranastaste dhananjaya. Have you listened to it, O Partha, with undivided attention? Has your delusion due to ignorance been destroyed, O Dhananjaya? The idea is, if you want to hear it again, if you have doubts, I am ready to tell you again. There is no lack of compassion on the part of God. It is in Ishavasya Upanishad commentary, Shankaracharya mentions, when there is a little repetition, the truth is told, the content is repeated but with another example. Shankaracharya mentions, Namantranam Jamitamasmi Jajamitasti, that there is no this feeling of being tired or being now laziness is not there in scriptures. If you want again, they will tell you again. And so if you have heard and understood, fine. And then Arjuna replies that, Arjuna uvacha nashto moha smritir labdha tvat prasadan mayachyuta sthitosmi gata sandeha karishye vachanam tava. My delusion is destroyed and I have gained my memory through your grace, O Achyuta, that is name of Krishna. I stand free from doubt. I will carry out your behest. that two very important things, nashto moha, that now that delusion that I had about these all people in the world are mine or not mine, either my friends or foes, and that delusion is gone. And moha, ignorance and disease, the delusion is gone, and then smritir labdha. This is a great idea in Vedanta, also in the Buddhistic descriptions of this truth, that look, what happens in this is the awareness that I am the all-pervading self comes back, the memory comes back. Oh, I am divine. Ha! I had forgotten that. And so was getting deluded and running after so many things. I really didn't need that. You wake up to the reality that awareness comes. Yes, like the famous well-known example given, if a fellow has just put the reading glasses on the forehead because was talking to somebody, and then looks for them everywhere, calls this friend and that friend, I had come to you a little while ago, just check if I have left those glasses there, and here, there, everywhere, for hours that search goes on, and then remembers, oh, well, no, you know, somebody tells him, look, right on your forehead, ha, found it. So also we remember our divinity, smriti, that memory comes up. Oh, I am not this little body or this tiny mind. I am the whole universe. I am everything. I am divine. I have no beginning, no end. Time and space cannot tarnish me, cannot catch me. I am the soul of everything. I am the bliss itself. I am the peace itself. What can contain me? What can destroy me? I have no fear. You go beyond all these just by having the memory. The memory wakes up. Yes! And then all worries, like in dream you had many problems facing, you wake up. In dream you had a big theft in house, and now what can you do, what is to be done, and then how to get back my stolen things. You wake up and you find there is no thief, nothing, everything is all right, and nothing needs to be done. So you see, wake up from this sleep. And you realize that you are that, you are divine, and nothing else needs to be done. So, this is Smritir Labdha. And how do you get it? Tvat Prasadat. That because of you, oh my teacher, Lord, because of your blessings I have got it. You have been so kind. This is a universal feeling of the devotees, that they become so indebted, feel so much of indebtedness towards the teacher and the Lord, both are really same, that yes, without you I wouldn't have got it. It is, I got it because of you, Tvat Prasadat, that it comes as the blessing of Lord. It comes to you as the immense blessing of Lord. Lord brings the blessings in this way, brings knowledge. Without that, how could I get it? So that is how he says that now, having all these doubts resolved, I will do whatever you tell me. Now Arjuna doesn't say, I will fight or I will not fight. I will do whatever you tell me, because you have this storehouse of knowledge. You know everything. And so my good lies in listening to you. I will do your bidding. And then there are these verses. Bhagavad Gita, the dialogue is finished here at the 73rd verse. The dialogue is being actually reported, as if we look at the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita, it begins with Dhritarashtra, the king whose sons and cousins, sons and nephews, they are like fighting. So he has been given the privilege to listen to what's happening on the battlefield through Sanjaya, who has been blessed with the vision. He was sitting with Dhritarashtra and telling him all the account. He is a great narrator, tells everything and how he had that television. So he is able to look, watch everything that is going on the battlefield. So, and Vyasa had blessed him with that. Okay, you will have this television, so you can see everything. Actually, Vyasa was offering to Dhritarashtra because he was blind. But Dhritarashtra was, the blindness is very symbolic there. The blindness there means that he doesn't want to see. There is nobody more blind than the one who refuses to see. We are sometimes, or more often than not, unfortunately, like that. We refuse to see. The truth is right there, but Dhritarashtra symbolizes that being, that obstinate person that doesn't want to see. So he said, what can I do? I don't want to see all that. So, but if somebody tells me, I will hear. So Sanjaya was made to sit there. Sanjaya, you sit there and then narrate it to Dhritarashtra. So Sanjaya was given this. So Sanjaya also was listening to this message. And so we now have three characters who heard this message given by Krishna. Sanjaya says, now, ityaham vasudevasya parthasya cha mahatmanah samvadamimam ashrausham adbhutam romaharshanam vyasa prasadat shrutavan etad guhyamaham param yogam yogeshwarat krishnat sakshat kathayatasvayam. Thus have I heard this wonderful dialogue between Vasudeva and the high-souled Partha that causes my hair to stand on end. It is such a thrilling thing, tremendous, nothing comparable to this in the whole world, this tremendous wisdom. And in the matter of say an hour or so, this dialogue took place, and so Sanjaya is really thrilled to hear this and says that it is through the grace of Vyasa I have heard this supreme secret of yoga direct from Krishna, the Lord of Yoga. He declared it himself, not some XYZ who has never heard anything, never known anything, giving discourse on yoga. No, the one who is the master of yoga, master of all these spiritual paths, that person, that divine is himself expressing this wisdom. And he says that that again and again I am getting the memory of that. When you watch or hear something that thrilling, again and again you keep on thinking about it, your mind doesn't leave that. So he says, Rajan samsmritya samsmritya samvadamimam adbhutam keshavarjuna yoho punyam rishyami cha muhur muho. O king, recalling often this wonderful and sacred dialogue between Keshava and Arjuna, Keshava is Krishna, I rejoice again and again. And especially, tatcha samsmritya samsmritya rupam atyadbhutam harehe vismayo me mahan rajan rishyami cha punah punah. And I repeatedly recall that most wonderful form of Hari, and great is my wonder, O King, and I rejoice again and again. He sees that wonderful form in the 11th chapter, that description of Lord showing the universal form to Arjuna. That universal form was not seen by anybody else. Arjuna and Sanjaya both were given this special privilege. So he says, I can't just imagine what it was. It is just out of this world. And we speak of being out of this world about many silly things. But this is really, really out of this world, out of this universe, to see this universal form of God. So Sanjaya is feeling that, and then he tells the conclusion. Yatra Yogeshwaro Krishna, Yatra Partho Dhanurdhara, Tatra Shri Vijayo Bhuti, Dhruvani Tirmatir Mama. The final verse of Bhagavad Gita. And that Sanjaya gives his conclusion. Who is going to win? Who is going to be victorious? It is not limited only to the context of that battle, but also this battle of life. Who is going to win? Yatra Yogeshwara Krishna, where there is Sri Krishna, the Lord of Yoga, and where there is Partha, the wielder of the bow, there are sure fortune, victory, prosperity and statesmanship. Such is my conviction. The one who is ready to do the battle means a spiritual aspirant, who is ready to fight out. And then Lord, who is the guide in that fight, guide, protector, everything. So where these two are together, only one will not do. And God doesn't need, God is already illumined, God doesn't need to practice illumination. A spiritual aspirant without God, no spiritual aspirant. What is spiritual aspirant without it? So both have to come together. When both come together, then there is the all-round progress seen in one's life. So it is the three listeners of Bhagavad Gita, Arjun, Sanjay and Dhritarashtra, three have different response to it. Arjuna said, by your grace, all my delusions are gone, and now free from all doubts, I will do whatever you tell me to do. That was the impact on Arjuna. Sanjay doesn't say that. Sanjay is just wonderstruck. Not that he is going to implement it in life. He just feels the wonder of it. He is not yet at the level where he has digested it. Dhritarashtra has nothing, no impact of it. In fact, in one commentary, it is said that Dhritarashtra is telling Sanjaya that what useless things you are telling me. Tell me in the battle what's happening. He is not interested in spiritual illumination. So therefore, even though this whole thing Dhritarashtra also heard, no impact whatever on Dhritarashtra. And it is, my teachers used to tell me, you are like that stone that you find in the river, the pebble. Nothing gets absorbed in it. I am telling so many times and you don't learn anything. So you are like that stone in the river. So actually Sri Ramakrishna gives similar example. If you dip sponge in water, it absorbs quickly. If you dip a stone, nothing gets absorbed. So Dhritarashtra didn't absorb anything. Arjuna absorbed the real contained in the right spirit. Sanjaya absorbed a little bit just to feel the wonder of it, that's all. It is. In this last verse it is therefore told that we should be like Arjuna. Bhagavad Gita was told to Arjuna. One should not forget that Arjuna, as a spiritual aspirant, is the recipient of Bhagavad Gita. If we become like Arjuna, we also will say with the same tone like Arjuna, that yes, we will tell Lord, I have heard carefully what you have been telling, and that has removed my delusion. Yes, Vishwanath, you can declare that, you know, that I have been hearing Bhagavad Gita all along. And so, Sam, you can declare all my delusion is gone, and now I will do whatever you tell me to do. Because this is told to spiritual aspirants. Everybody who takes it like that will get the illuminating influence of Bhagavad Gita, these wonderful words of Lord. This scripture is very special, and friends, I am not opening up today for question answers because they, not just because of time, but there is, I feel, nothing much to ask about it today. Some other time, or you can email me if you have questions. It has been a great experience for me last 5 years. I'm meditating on these verses and then explaining these to you. You are all students, very intelligent, and you really were coming here. I am not worthy of like teaching to you. I was telling these things to myself, and you proved to be great help to me in doing this. So my very sincere, heartfelt gratitude to you, friends, for helping me out by coming here and making me understand these ideas. And my best wishes, my salutations to you all. God is in the hearts of every being, in the hearts of you all. My salutations to that Lord, friends, and may the message of Lord sink in our awareness, removing ignorance from there, and bring the ultimate illumination in our life. So with this prayer, I conclude this series of talks. And as you all know, coming Sunday we will have our concluding service before we break for the summer vacation. There will be also a music concert after that. And there will be many summer programs. You can see that, take a place if you don't have already. Take the flyer for the summer programs and try to come for that. There is also some prasad, some offered food, some sweets kept outside. Before you leave, please try to take. Bhagavad Gita tells the glory of prasad. It of course means something more profound than just the offered food, but it is the gift of God. So please take that as you go out. Thank you, friends, again. Oh, we have to do the concluding chant. And that concluding chant is very important, very good. It says that Bhagavad Gita is meant for practicing. Gita sugita kartavya kimanyat shastra vittarai ya svayam padmanabhasya मुखपद्माद्विनिसृता एकं शास्त्रं देवकी पुत्रगीतं एको देवो देवकी पुत्र एव एको मन्त्रः तस्य नामानि यानि कर्माप्येकं तस्य देवस्य सेवा श्रीकृष्णार्पणमस्तु।